Passporter Moms podcast.
Hello, thank you for joining us for episode 8 of the Passporter Moms podcast, Disney and Beyond. I'm Jennifer Marks, Passporter author and Passporter mom.
And I'm Sarah Varney, editor of Passporter News and manager of the Passporters Club.
The Passporter Moms podcast is a weekly podcast for all travelers, with or without kids. We serve up a healthy serving of tips and advice for vacations to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, and destinations in the U.S. and abroad. Today's podcast features a very special guest, plus the usual roundup of news and Q&A from our readers and listeners. But before we get into that, how are things going with you, Sarah?
Great. It's been a wonderful week here. The weather, it's finally stopped raining. We had a nor'easter over the weekend, but today the sun has come out and is shining down on us, and it's, you know, we're almost at 50, so I'll take it.
That's about what it is right here, right now, too. And I have a sort of home day-to-day because Alexander is sick, but he's on the mend, so nothing to be alarmed about.
Good.
Otherwise, things are good with me.
I know how that is. That those sick days, really, when you work at home, they can sort of wreak havoc with your schedule.
That's right. And how's our newsletter looking for this week?
Newsletter is looking great. We have actually two new contributors this week for our articles, which is always very exciting.
Awesome.
And let me just put my plug in here. We are always looking for contributors to for our articles about Disney or just general travel articles. We do print both. So, and you don't need to have any writing experience. You don't need to be professional. We're just looking for opinions and experiences and things that you would like to share. So I'm very excited that this week we have an article on the Billy Swamp Safari Park. And again, this is in Florida. It's another area I had never heard of.
I haven't either, I have to say.
Yeah. It's in the Everglades. So it's part of the Big Cypress Seminole Reservation. So Heidi Bamford, who has previously contributed to the newsletter, has that article to share with us. And
Excellent.
Then we have a resort review of Disney's Grand Floridian. So
wonderful.
Yes. And I don't know how we didn't have one before, but sure enough, it was lacking. So
that's wonderful. Everyone will be very excited to read about that.
Yeah.
So how about news this week?
Well, you know what? We had so much news last week. It's slightly quiet on the Disney news front this week. We had a Disney cast member, unfortunately, who worked at the Tomorrowland Speedway, was injured on Sunday. I shouldn't laugh. This is terrible. It's not funny. And yet, for whatever reason, the visual, I admit, gives me just a tiny chuckle.
It's
the
okay,
cast member was okay. So
that's,
let me get
that's good. That's
clear.
Good.
The cast member was struck by one of the Speedway cars that was being driven by a guest.
Mm-hmm.
And he broke his leg. He or she,
that's...
it's an unidentified cast member. So he or she broke their leg. But is fine and in stable condition. But the cars have a top speed of 7 miles per hour. So it's evil of me, but I have to admit sort of the visual of that gives me a slight chuckle.
I will admit that I felt horribly guilty when I read that too and then went, huh? I feel bad, but I guess I had this mental image of, like, you know, maybe one of the, like, a toddler in one of those little plastic cars. But yeah, okay. Anyways, we should move on. We incriminate ourselves. I'm very, very happy to hear the cast members doing okay.
In the Magic Kingdom has had some changes.
Mm-hmm.
Their hours have changed. It was previously 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's now 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Okay.
And the price has dropped. It also sounds like the package has changed a little bit. So the captain's package has been discontinued. That was sort of the more upgraded package that I think included the costume.
Yes, it was the same as the first mate, but with the costume, yes.
With the costume. Okay, so that's been discontinued entirely. So all that's left is the first mate and the Empress package, which is the basic package for a boy or a girl. And let me be clear, if the girl wants the first mate package, by all means, go right ahead. There's not, you know,
uh-huh.
It sort of seems to differentiate, but, you know, girls are more than welcome to take advantage of the first mate package. So the package now includes your choice of facial effects, so scar or, you know, tattoo or whatever, the pirate coin necklace, the sword and the sheath, and then the pirate oath and the naming ceremony. And then the first mate package includes a set of removable teeth, or the Empress package includes sort of makeup, nail polish, and a little facial gem.
Uh-huh.
It appears that the photo has been discontinued.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having sort of a hard time sort of verifying that, so don't quote me on that, but it's not listed as being included in any of the Disney press releases that I've seen. So costumes are still available. Other items are still available. They're just a separate purchase. They're not part of the package. So,
the prices?
Oh, go ahead. The price used to be $44.95. It's now $29.95. So
That would make sense if the photo's not there, then. Indeed.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Anything
And then the
else?
other news we had was over at Disneyland, the Sherman Brothers, who were songwriters for Disney many, many, many years, and I think still are on occasion. They wrote It's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow, Feed the Birds from Mary Poppins. They wrote the music for the Tiki Room, the original Tiki Room attraction. They got a window on Main Street USA in Disneyland last
Well, it's
week.
about time.
I know, right? Yeah, they've only been doing this for what, 50 years or so?
I
Let's give them a window. But it technically isn't even a window. It's a door. It's a glass door in the 20th Century Music Shop on Main Street. So very cool, and congratulations to them. They have been such an integral part of not only the parks but the movies and just the sound of Disney over the years. So
Absolutely. Now, the Passporter newsletter comes out this Thursday. If you don't yet get the newsletter in your inbox, you can subscribe for free at passporter.com/news.htm. Now, I am pleased to introduce our special guest for this week's episode, Deb Wills. Deb is the founder of All Ears Net, the internet's most comprehensive resource for Walt Disney World, as well as editor-in-chief of All Ears, the free weekly e-newsletter with over 120,000 subscribers. That is so awesome. Deb is internationally recognized as an expert on Disney vacations. Deb is also a breast cancer survivor who is passionate about raising funds for local community-based programs for the underserved and research through her annual campaigns at Avon Breast Cancer Walks. Deb has been recognized as one of Avon's top fundraisers. Hi, Deb.
Well, hi, ladies. What a pleasure to be here with you today.
All right, so Deb, I have a quick question. It's not on the planner. I'm just going to shoot it at you. I saw photos of you and Patrick Dempsey.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh, really?
Spill.
For the first time ever in all the years I've been doing the Avon Walk, in 2009 they held a contest, and the top fundraiser in each of the nine cities got a weekend in Daytona Beach. And we were VIP guests of Patrick Dempsey, who owns a race car team and drives himself at the Grand Am Rolex 24, which is a 24-hour race in Daytona Beach. And we got to have a meet and greet with him. We were VIP'd everywhere. It was an amazing weekend. And so, yes, all of us who attended are sporting our pictures with Patrick all over our Facebook
That's exactly where I saw it. Yep.
pages. Oh, wow, that sounds amazing.
All right, I just had to get that out there because I'm jealous.
Now, All Ears goes back a long time before I ever got involved with the Disney web scene. So, Deb, can you tell us how All Ears began?
Sure. It actually is part of the dinosaur days of the internet. And I think it was somewhere in 1994 or 1995, the internet was getting out there now for regular folks and not just the scientific and educational communities. And I was hanging out on a place called Rec Arts Disney, which was a youth group similar to what message boards are today. And people started asking the same questions over and over. FAQs were the thing to do. So we were housing the FAQs on my site, which was then called Deb's Disney Digest, and it evolved from one thing to the next to the next. And I'm proud to tell you that we're now 14 years strong. I think we're the oldest independent Disney website available online, and we're very proud of that. And it's been an amazing journey. And as you mentioned, we also have a newsletter that goes out to over 122,000 subscribers every Tuesday evening.
It's so awesome.
It is my first stop when
Absolutely.
I'm planning a trip. I mean, and no offense to Passporter. I work for Passporter. I love Passporter. We have some great information, but allears.net is by far the most comprehensive, the menus alone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
Yes.
thank you. There's a whole team of folks that work on the newsletter. It's not just me. We have behind the scenes people, as I'm sure you do at Passporter, and we have folks who do research, blogs, photography, feature writers, you name it. We have a whole cadre of folks on the team, so couldn't do it without them.
That's wonderful.
So, what question do you get asked the most about Disney?
There's actually two questions that come up all the time, and they're related. One is, what is my favorite resort to stay at? And the other is, what is my favorite place to eat? And that really varies and changes. There was a time when I was telling folks that, like, for the values, All Star Movies was my favorite because of the amenities offered. And then Pop Century came to be, and then I sort of flipped back to movies. But Pop Century is now renovating their rooms, and I'm looking forward to staying there. The photos look absolutely wonderful with flat screen TVs and new paint jobs, etc. So I think Pop Century is going to be my next value stay. In moderate resorts, my heart goes out to the Port Orleans French Quarter. I've just always loved that resort. I miss the full service restaurant Bon Famille terribly, but it's just very quaint. I love the landscaping. It's quiet, it seems laid back, and it only has one bus stop. So.
I'm so glad you said that about Bon Famille. I loved that restaurant, and I still mourn the loss of it every time we stay there. They had the best little popcorn crawfish, oh, to die for.
They were awesome. And, in terms of deluxe resorts, it really is dependent on what the purpose of my trip is. If I'm not down for research, then if I'm here for food and wine or flower and garden, I'd like to stay at an Epcot area resort. Boardwalk is one of my favorites. If I also like actually the Swan and Dolphin in that area. If I want to just get away, I love the Animal Kingdom Lodge. In fact, I just came back from a stay there. And of course, there's the Disney Vacation Club resorts, which really spoil you. I don't know if either of you are DVC members, but once you get used to the one bedroom with the washer and dryer and all the room and the full size kitchen, it's kind of hard to go back to a regular room after that. So that's it for resorts and dining. Of course, this trip I just came back from, I had fabulous meals at Artist Point and a fabulous meal at Jico. I'm sure there were others, but those are the two that stick in my mind.
Now you were there, you ran the Disney Princess 5K, is that right?
I did run the 5K, and I had thought a little bit about doing the half marathon because I had run the half marathon in January when we were in below 30 temperatures with the sleet and the freezing
Oh,
rain.
no.
It was quite the experience. But doing something like that also requires a great deal of training, and I didn't have that time or the weather luxury. And so I ran the 5K with a few thousand other people, and we had a great run that morning.
Oh, that's great.
That's good.
Now, how many different types of Disney vacations have you taken? I know there's Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise. What have you done so far?
That's it. And the Adventures by Disney. I've been to the parks on both coasts in the United States. I have yet to be to a park outside the United States. My lifeless dream is to visit Tokyo DisneySea and Tokyo Disneyland, and hopefully that will happen in the next few years. I love the Disney Cruise Line. I love the Adventures by Disney product. I've done three Adventures by Disneys in the United States. I've not done one overseas, but I have been on the cruise ship and gone to the Mediterranean through the Panama Canal. Actually, with the two of you, we have shared some cruises, and the cruise line is just an amazing experience, whether you're a family or you're just adults.
Yeah, I completely agree. We've had so much fun on the cruise lines and
We have not much sleep, but a lot of fun.
So, of all of these different Disney experiences, do you have a favorite?
I don't. It's really hard to pick because they're each such a unique product, and they each offer their own amazing quality and Disney service and Disney, those little differences that you don't get in other places. So, Disneyland, I'm really loving right now because I haven't been there very often, and so each trip out there is a little new and different. I'm very excited for January 2011 and the sailing of the new Disney Dream cruise ship.
Indeed.
Not doing any Adventures by Disney this year, but I'm looking at some for next year, and look forward to that if that happens.
Now, Deb, you're going to be on the inaugural sailing, is that right?
I am, and I actually am going to be on the first two sailings. For the very first one, I have an inside cabin with the special navigator or special window.
That's the virtual porthole, yeah.
Virtual porthole, thank you. I couldn't think of the name of it. So I'm really interested about that. I think I might set up a video camera and just record it.
That's a great idea.
But the ship just is amazing. And I had the fortune to go to a press event in New York back in October when everything was announced. Mm-hmm. And everything just looks impeccable. They have just plussed everything. And I really wanted to be a kid on that ship, because they're going to have things like Turtle Talk with Crush and a similar interactive experience with Stitch. And they just have so many things that are coming online for the kids as well as the adults. But, you know, there's a kid in all of us.
That's right.
So we kind of look for those fun things like being a pirate and talking with Crush and those types of things.
So All Ears has so many wonderful resources, and it's always changing and updating. And I'm wondering if there's anything new and exciting coming in the future for All Ears.
Well, we're actually working on a redesign of our splash page. We have spent a lot of time in the last 2 years beefing up our Disneyland section, and mm-hmm. we want to give that more, let more folks know that that's an important part of our website. It won't be a drastic change, but we're just trying to get up to speed with some of the newer technologies. Mm-hmm. We are also going to be launching a live podcast, which will be inaugurating our second All Ears running team. Uh-huh. We had a team of over 40 folks in January who actually were very, very wonderful, raised over $25,000 for my Avon Breast Cancer Walk, and they want to do it again. So we're going to be launching our 2011 team and perhaps increase the number of people that we have on the team, and we're hoping to do a live podcast to kick all that off. So we have a few things up our sleeve that I can't really announce yet, but we're looking, like I said, at all the new technologies. We are not getting into podcasts. There are plenty of podcast folks out there, and we are not getting into message boards because there are plenty of those mm-hmm. out there. But we're always looking at new and different things to bring to our audience to help them plan their magical vacation.
And for anyone out there who may not know about All Ears Net, they are located at allears.net. Now, we have some questions to answer from our readers. The first is from OMD, who writes, "I just realized our trip in October will start on Columbus Day weekend. We have never been at that time, so I was wondering how bad the crowds will be. We will be coming on the Friday before and staying until the following Friday. What do you two think?"
Well, obviously, any three-day weekend at Walt Disney World is going to bring in not only folks from outside the state of Florida, but a lot of locals as well. And it really doesn't matter if it's Columbus Day weekend or President's Weekend, whatever it is. That tends to be a little bit busier time of year because the Halloween party is running at that time, gearing up for, Food and Wine has started. So while your weekend will probably be crowded, the weekdays should be just fine. And so I would plan accordingly and do a lot of your park venturing during the weekdays, try and do some more laid back things on the weekend so you don't have to get caught up in all the crowds and the weather. Sometimes it can be very hot in October.
Yes, it can be sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with everything Deb just said. October, while once upon a time was a quieter season at Walt Disney World, that has changed drastically.
Yes, not anymore.
Halloween has become an event unto itself at Walt Disney World. The popularity of the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party and the Food and Wine Festival has completely changed October. And Columbus Day weekend is definitely going to be a busy weekend. So I definitely avoid, like Deb said, doing sort of your out-of-the-park touring over the weekend. I also would recommend if you are going to go to a park, you're going to want to avoid the Magic Kingdom and even Epcot. So you may want to focus more on Hollywood Studios or on Animal Kingdom because those will be the less busy. Because again, with the Halloween party, everybody's going to be sort of gravitating towards the Magic Kingdom. So
yes, I agree completely. Our next question is from Disney Dana, who writes, "I'm sure most people know about getting discounted room rates through places like Mouse Savers and such, but here's my question. If you book your room with a discount code, do you still qualify for free dining if you're staying on property?" I bet, Sarah, you know the answer to this.
I do know the answer to this. That's a lovely thought, isn't it? Unfortunately, Disney only allows you to use one promotion at a time. So it is important to compare. What is the cost of your room rate with a room-only discount code as opposed to what is the cost with a package? Free dining typically means you're paying full price for your hotel and your tickets. So it's a little bit of compare and contrast. You can only use one, and depending on the makeup of your party and what the dining plan is worth to you, it may or may not be the best deal. So definitely check it out. But you got to pick one promotion.
And I'll put a shameless plug in for you, Sarah. Sarah happens to be a travel agent for MouseFan Travel, who Ollier's partners with. And I know that they keep an eye on these types of things when you book a trip through MouseFan Travel. If a new discount comes up, they're going to help you take a look at it, see whether you can apply it or not, and see which is the better value for what you're looking for. So don't hesitate to use the folks at MouseFan Travel and Sarah.
Oh, well, thank you.
Absolutely.
But well, I use you all the time for personal and business travel. You guys are great.
But it's actually true. There's, you know, even for this spring right now, there's currently two promotions. You know, there's a room-only discount, and then there's a package promotion, the gift card that's currently being offered. And it really does depend. It's not always automatically going to be the discount that you're seeing advertised on TV that is the best deal. So whether you use a travel planner or you don't, it's important to compare and contrast to make sure you're getting the best deal.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Our next question is from Benji Boo 25, who writes, I have a question about how picky Disney is for the height restrictions on rides. My youngest is just over 39 inches. We are hoping she clears the 40-inch mark by August so we do not have to do the child swap for some of the attractions, especially Soarin'. So how picky are they? Should I invest in some thick-soled shoes? And I want to, I have a want to answer this one. First of all, Disney is very picky about height requirements for many good reasons that I feel all park goers should respect. Please, please, please don't try to make your child appear taller than they are for their own safety. There's just so many wonderful, magical things to do at the parks. Missing out on a few rides due to a height restriction, I don't think is something to stress out about, in my opinion. My suggestion is to measure your child before the trip. Take off a half an inch for discrepancies between your measurement and Disney's. Trust me on this one. I measured Alexander, and he really wasn't quite that tall. Confirm the rides that your child will be able to go on, and then conveniently forget about those, or don't bring them up and talk about them or hype them with your children. I should note that I like I said, I measured Alexander at home, and he wasn't as tall as I thought he was when he got to Disney, and had him stand beside that measuring stick. So yeah, just downrate that just a little bit. And I applaud you for measuring and taking note of a height restriction before you go, because it's so disappointing to a child to get all excited about a ride and then get up there and discover they can't go on. It's really difficult.
Yeah. That's a good note, Jennifer, about measuring and then deducting a little bit. So you never know how, depending on the shoes your child is wearing. And no, don't invest in thick-soled shoes, please. No. Like Jennifer said, these are safety precautions that Disney is implementing. They really are trying to protect your child. So, but children scrunch down. Children tend to stand funny when they're being watched. There's lots of different variables that go into sort of how tall your child may be measuring on that day. And since we're passing the plugs around, I'm going to plug Passporter. Your Passporter has the height requirements for every single attraction in it. So do a little research ahead of time, find out what the height attraction is, you know, height requirement is rather. And then like Jennifer said, you know, plan ahead so that you're not hyping up Soarin' or you're not hyping up Space Mountain and only to get there and have your child be disappointed. So I would agree.
All right. Our last question is from Walt Canada, who writes, Hello, my sister and brother-in-law will be heading to Disneyland with their kids ages 2 and 4. Our experience is with Walt Disney World, but I'd love to offer her some suggestions for touring plans to maximize the attractions. Is it possible to do 10 rides by 10 a.m.? If one parent is running around to secure fast passes, what would a good plan be? Are the lines for Toy Story Mania and Soarin' as horrible as they are in Florida? Help!
Well, I can tell you first off that on occasion the parks don't open till 10 a.m. When I was there last September, California Adventure didn't open until 10. So obviously you're not going to be able to do many rides before then. If you are staying at one of the three Disney hotels, they do have an extra magic hour. It's called something a little different, but it works the same as it does in Walt Disney World. And those are good opportunities to get into the parks before a lot of the crowd comes and maximize your or reduce your wait time on attractions. Toy Story Mania, yes, in my experience, the lines are pretty much crazy like they are in Florida. And in California, there is no fast pass. So you have to really decide when you want to go over there and how you want to approach that. Soarin', I don't believe it is as crazy as the lines in Disney World. It's been in Disney's California Adventure pretty much since it opened, and it gets a reasonable crowd, but I don't believe the waits are anything like they are in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jennifer and I were discussing this prior to the podcast, and I have some fairly strong feelings about this. is it possible to choose 10 rides by 10 a.m., even with the extra magic hour? My question is, why would you want to?
Really? Good question.
You have kids who are younger, on the young side, ages 2 and 4. I think there's so much to be missed at both Walt Disney World and Disneyland by rushing through and just focusing on the attractions. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage you to readjust your thinking and want to maximize the experience and not so much be trying to sort of check off attractions off a list, especially with a 2 and a 4 year old. So
I agree completely. Yes.
Good point.
I just want to thank Deb for taking the time to speak with us today. We really appreciate it. And thank you for allears.net. I can't tell you how much help it's been over the years planning my various trips.
Well, thank you both so much for your kind words about the website, and it was a pleasure to be on here today, and I'd be happy to come back anytime.
Yay. Thank you, Deb.
You're welcome.
A note, I'm writing it down.
And if anyone out there would like to hear your question answered in the Passporter Moms podcast, please send an email to podcast@passporter.com or post on our message boards at passporterboards.com. And that's our show, folks. Thank you for listening. Join us next week for more news, answers, and a special guest. Listen to more podcasts at passporter.com/podcast. Talk to you next week.